Well, it's been good to be in God's house tonight. Appreciate the Spirit amongst His people. And things happen in our hearts when we gather together. I was thinking again the other day, people get so many things wrong in the church world we live in. I hear increasingly, well, you can be a good Christian and not go to church. And that's like saying you can be married and not have a spouse. I mean, it's just not the way the relationship God made it. That's why God says all through the New Testament, confess your faults one to another, sing one to another, pray one for another. It's one another, one another, one another. You can't do those things by yourself, right? Right? And you guys have learned that I'm preaching to the choir. That's why you're here on a Wednesday night. And just something happens when we come together in fellowship as God's people. And church isn't a place to get beat up. Church is a place to be encouraged. And I hope you already feel encouraged from having been in the house of the Lord tonight. I know the Spirit has been ministering to us. Amen. We're well over halfway through, or right there, in our Hebrews 11 study, making it into the hall of faith. And I don't know if you're looking each week, but have you discovered your name there among the columns there anywhere yet? Amen. Make it into the hall of faith. And here is our pivotal verse for the thematic verse for the whole chapter, if you would read it with me again. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If the only time you pray is during the commercials, I doubt if you're receiving much from God. How many would agree? Those that diligently seek him. Tonight we're going to talk about faith to make walls fall. Faith to make walls fall. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your people. And I pray, Lord, that you would move by your Spirit. And God, the reason you put this chapter in the Bible, and this particular verse we're going to look at tonight, make that purpose real and encourage your people with it. And show us the path ahead. Anoint my efforts, Lord, tonight in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. The illustration we're going to look at in this chapter is when the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Not London's Bridge, Jericho. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And the verse we're going to look at, we'll just look at one verse this evening. It says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the walls of Jericho, not by a tornado, not by a battering ram, not by a bomb, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. This is the picture that was in my Bible when, you know, that's been 45 years ago, but when you get your first picture Bible, you never forget those pictures that were in it, do you? And this was the rendition of Jericho that was in my Bible. And I looked at that as a child over and over. I mean, you could use up a good part of a sermon just looking at one picture in that picture in Bible as the preacher was preaching. But I remember marveling just those walls. I mean, it looks like a lot's going on there, doesn't it? You know, we do something in our churches. Let me go ahead and just remind us of the theme of Hebrews. Stick with Christ. Never turn back. Because whatever the adversity, Christ is always better than anything else. That's the whole theme of the book of Hebrews. Faith to make the walls fall. Have you ever considered how odd, even to most Christians, our having a Jericho march would be? Have you ever thought about that? Someone being in a service, or someone takes out and starts walking around the building, people follow in, and someone gets to shout, and people are clapping. Don't you think even Christians would find that a bit odd? In my home church one time, we even went out on the parking lot. I'll never forget the neighbors looking out the windows. Those folks have done lost it. You know, if you don't know the story, it seems awfully ridiculous if you're not thinking of the story, doesn't it? I mean, if you take that action in church out of the context of knowing the story, it doesn't make much sense. We are increasingly living in a time where Christians are biblically illiterate. You know, you could say, now you know the story. You can't say that anymore because people don't know the stories of the Bible. And something that's familiar to us as the story of the walls of Jericho falling, even Christians don't know that story. And I promise you, I'm not going to get on a rabbit trail, but though I'm about to. And one of the reasons we don't know our Bible stories today is because every church wants to preach because they think everybody wants the how-to sermons. How to this, how to that, how to this, how to that. And they don't get to the Bible stories. I'm glad the walls of Jericho did come tumbling down. And I might be getting into Sister Durst's Christmas program territory here, but a pastor took a new church, and he did what I did when I came here. He floated around for several weeks from Sunday school class to Sunday school class just to get a feel, and he went to the kids' department, and he sat down there in that class, and the teacher was, as he walked in, the teacher said to him, she said, "You know what, Pastor? We're learning about Jericho." And he thought, well, that's nice. And so he said to the class, "That you learn about Jericho. Well, who tore the walls of Jericho down?" It got real quiet. Finally, a little boy lifted his hand. The teacher said, "Yeah, Johnny?" And he said, "I know I get blamed for a lot of things, but I didn't do it." And the pastor, you know, he's going to press it. He said, No. "Who tore the walls of Jericho down?" And the teacher said, "Look, Pastor, you know, I can vouch this time. Johnny didn't do it this time." And he got frustrated, the pastor, so he went and found the Sunday school superintendent. He said, "What's going on in these classes?" He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, I went in there and asked him who tore the walls of Jericho down." Poor Johnny, because the superintendent said, "Well, Johnny, he's sure been in a lot of trouble a lot of times, but as far as I know, I'll go talk to him, but I don't think he did it. I really don't." And so the pastor said, "We got a problem with this new church." And so after the service, he called for a board meeting. And he recounted what had happened in the Sunday school class and with the teacher and the superintendent. And they just sat there and wrung their hands. And finally, one of the elders, white-headed gentleman, he said, "Pastor, I really believe the wisest way to take care of this is let's just take money out of the general fund and rebuild it and just forget it instead of causing a big stink." People, they really don't know the Bible stories. And so to see some Christians in a Jericho march, I mean, that really is an odd thing to them. But, you know, we understood that, and I hope we still understand, that Jericho march in the church is a faith thing. It's putting trust in God to bring victory to that service or bring victory to our lives like he did at Jericho. They march by faith, and by faith the walls fell. That's what a Jericho march is. It's not just an exhibition of craziness. I mean, that was in our hearts. We're going to have the victory. We may not feel like we have it. Things may not lining up for it. Amen. Everything may be against it. But we're having this Jericho march because we're going to believe God for victory. He's going to do the impossible. He's going to move the obstruction. Again, in the faith chapter, I want to point our attention to this before we get into it. But we discover once again, though it's been taught across our land, faith is not a magical force. Faith is not a formula. Do you recognize in that short verse I read what faith is? What is faith? It's trusting God. It's obedience. They chose to obey. God said, "March," and they chose to obey. That's how they illustrated their faith. They were trusting God to the point of obeying him, even in the long run. I'm going to come back to this, but it didn't happen on the first day. How many knows that? The walls didn't come down on the first day. Amen. But the walls of Jericho fell because of the people's obedience. Now you say, "Wait a minute, Pastor, you got that wrong. You read tonight that by faith the walls fell. And now you're saying it's by obedience." That's my exact point. The Bible says by faith the walls fell, but if you read the story, God gave them a commandment, march around the walls, and the people obeyed. Therefore, if faith made the walls fall, and it was the people obeying, I must come to the conclusion that their faith was not a magical formula. Their faith wasn't a magical force. Their faith was an act of obedience. And that goes contrary to what's being taught on so much of religious media. But it's the truth. And I don't want to get hung up on another story, but to have real faith is to obey. How many remembers when Jesus walked on earth, that man that was blind from his birth? The Bible said Jesus spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man. Aren't you glad we just anoint with oil? But Jesus, he rubbed mud on there. And then what did Jesus do? He said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Now, the man had a decision. Is he going to obey or not obey? Now, here's the interesting thing. I don't have time to get in this story. But how many steps did that blind man take and he's still blind? He's walking to the well, but he's still blind. But when he fulfilled that command, go and wash, he received his sight. It wasn't a magical force. It was that the man obeyed God. And I want to preach that real faith is to obey God in difficult times. Obey God when you don't understand. Obey God when the future looks dark. That's what faith is. It's obeying God. And we're going to see that. Now, here's where you may be tonight. And I hope I still have your attention. I got to meandering about that Jericho march, but you may be thinking, okay, the walls of Jericho fell down flat. So what? So what? What's the big deal about that? Well, first of all, you got to understand the big deal is bound up in this idea, in this reality, that walls are a barrier. You know, some people have walls that keep them in, and some people have walls that keep them out. But the problem in their spiritual lives are walls. Walls are a barrier. And we're going to talk about those and why that's important. You say, well, I always thought it was just a demonstration of God's power. I mean, he could bring down those big and mighty walls, and I thought that's all it was about, was a sign of God's power. And by the way, that certainly does show God's power to see those walls tumbling down. But the question is, why? Think about this. I don't know if you've ever thought about this when you thought of the story of Jericho before, but the point is, why did the walls of Jericho need to come down? Think about that. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, and I want us to think about that tonight. You might have even asked the question, why didn't the people just go around Jericho? I mean, it's a big country there. Why didn't they just go around Jericho? Why did the walls need to come down? Why was the walls of Jericho coming down such a great miracle and a great victory? Well, let's go back to this. Walls are a barrier. Amen. They weren't really, the people of Israel really weren't after what was in Jericho. By the way, that was given to the Lord. Remember? They didn't get to keep any of themselves. The people of Israel weren't even going to inhabit or live in Jericho. Therefore, why did the walls of Jericho have to come down? Well, it's this simple. Jericho was keeping them out of what God had for them. Jericho was keeping them out of the promised land. You see, those walls are anything that keep us from what God has for us. And that's why they got to come down. You know, Jericho was a very fortified city. And the point is, it blocked the pass between the hills that led into the interior of the promised land. If you're thinking of having read the Bible, you know the children of Israel, they had just crossed from the wilderness across Jordan River. They're ready to enter the promised land. But the first thing they encounter is this huge, high-walled, fortified city, Jericho, standing in the mountain pass, we call them hills, but in the hill pass, blocking the children of Israel's entrance into the land that God had promised him. In other words, Jericho was keeping Israel from progressing any further and from possessing what God had given her. Amen. We do have walls even today. Amen. Even tonight, there are folks, there's walls in their life. And I want to go on to that question. Here's this isn't Jericho, but it gives you an idea. And I don't think the perspective is coming out on the slide, but the viewpoint is if you were standing at the base, can you kind of see how those walls would loom over you? But notice how they're blocking the pass through the hills to the interior of the land. And so knowing that, why it was important then, the second question is, why is that important now? And I've already alluded to it, but the reason is, even today, they're not called Jericho. They got other names. But Christians have things that are blocking their progress. They have things, walls, that keep them from having the experience that God wants them to have, of living where God wants them to live. You know, I feel this way, and I know you are, it's rhetorical speaking, but I hope everybody's listening to this, because if a Christian has a heart that is right with God, a heart that's where it ought to be, that heart will always be pushing that Christian to move forward in quest of more things in God, to be moving ahead spiritually. If a Christian has a heart that is right with God, there will be a drive to go forward. There will be a drive to grow in Christ, to move closer to Him, to go further in the things of God. And if you don't have that drive, then your spiritual life tonight is in great suspect. In other words, your heart's probably not right with God if you don't have that drive of wanting to move forward. Well, having that drive to move forward, we often discover that there's something in our path. There's something that's keeping us from progressing, from having the victory, from inhabiting the promise of God. Amen. And that's why these things are important. And I just spoke these things, but if you want to see them, I want to ask the question or make the statement, what keeps you from going forward? What keeps you from having victory? What keeps you from inhabiting the promise of God? That needs to come down. That's a wall that needs to be removed. What are you letting stop you from advancing in God, in the things of God? For the believer, whatever stands in his way, going back is not an option. Let me give you this little point that I've never noted before. I mean, I did never put it together. And take this home with you, because I mean, all the years of teaching this and thinking about it, I never made this connection before. I knew the facts, but the children of Israel had just passed over Jordan, right? How many know something happened as soon as they got over Jordan? Something happened. It had been happening every day, but all of a sudden it quit happening. Does anyone know what happened? It had been happening every day, but quit. The manna stopped. Where's the next meal at? It's in the land. What's blocking the passage into the land? It's Jericho. Why did God have the manna stop? It could have fallen on the other side of Jordan. Because with the manna stop, if the next meal is ahead, going back's not an option. Could I tell you, your next spiritual meal is ahead. The walls have to come down. They had to cross. Amen. So there it was, barring the entrance to Canaan. Now, I'm not going to be long at all tonight, I promise you. So let's really think about these things. Now, Jericho, the scripture says, this is in Joshua, was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. They just got the harvest in. The Bible lets us know that. They've got a nice water spring on the inside. They're well fortified. And there they are, shut up. But this city is stopping the children of Israel. I want to talk just briefly about the walls here. They were huge walls. The Bible said they were strongly shut up. The gates are closed. And, you know, I don't know if I have a picture here. I do. This is kind of blurry. But this will help us in our understanding later. And if I had about 30 minutes, I'd talk about how the archaeologists do this. This is what they call a tale. And I don't have time to tell the tale of the tale. But anyway, this is what this is, a T-E-L. But if you look here, and I could probably show this on here, what probably was is there's a retaining wall right here at the base of the hill that was generally about 6 foot from the digs, about 6 foot tall. And then right above it, and I've lost, here it is, and right above it here was the first wall. And this first wall was about 6 foot, some say 12 foot wide, 6 foot wide, and upwards to 25 feet tall. Now keep that in mind. Now notice the incline of the hill. You get to this wall here. This was the real wall. I mean, it was 12 foot wide, 25 feet tall. But now here's the point. In its position on the hill, I keep losing my mouse there. Right here, this is a cross section, but the hill of Jericho was 45 feet tall. So you build on top of that a 25 foot wall, and is that 70 feet? If you're down here, one of these Israelites right here, it's at least 70 feet to the top of that thing. Those are, I mean, that's a formidable, impregnable fortress there. And some say, and there's some indication that it perhaps was even dirt filled in between these walls. That was how fortified this city was. I mean, that's a great obstacle. And the Lord, now I want you to keep that in your mind for what God says next. And the Lord said to Joshua, see? You know, we read the Bible in black and white. You got to understand something. Joshua is looking up 75 feet. And God said, see, I've given unto thy hand Jericho. Think about that. We're talking about faith. God said, see, I have given unto thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. You know, I think if you and I shouldn't put you in my company, but I think if you and I were standing there looking at those walls, we'd say, see those walls? They can't be breached. And God said, see those walls? They're coming down. Didn't God give us a different perspective? By the way, we probably ought to take God's word over it over our word. Amen. I mean, again, I know you are, but to still be impressed with what I just showed you, those walls, and God said, see those? They're coming down. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not just talking about Jericho all those years ago, 3,400 years ago. I'm talking about tonight. God is saying to his people, see those walls? They're coming down. Hallelujah. Are you glad for the promises of God? Amen. God always has made a way for the one who desires to move forward, and he'll trust him. Did you hear me? God has always made a way for the one who desires to move forward and will trust him. And you shall compass or compass the city, all you men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear that sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Now that's going to come into importance in a moment. Go up straight before him. God said, if you'll do it my way, 6 days you go around once. And he had a way. There's armed men. There's priests that are blowing these trumpets. There's the Ark of the Covenant. And then there's the rest of the armed army. And they're marching around once for 6 days. On the 7th day, they march around 7 times. And the sound of the trumpet changes its tone. And at the change of the tone, that's a signal for the people to shout. And when the people shout, the walls come tumbling down. Their faith was revealed in their obedience, even when it seemed to make no sense and to result with no progress. God said, the walls are coming down. Go march around them. They went out and marched around the first day. What happened? Nothing. Don't you think those people on the wall were having a good laughing at those Israelites? What do you think you're doing? You don't have battering rams? By the way, when we're having a Jericho march, if you're laughing, you may be on the wrong side of the wall. Amen? They were obeying God as they marched around. Their faith is revealed and their obedience. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then ye shall shout. Now, I don't want to read too much into this, but I could not get away from this today. I'm going the wrong way. We're moving forward tonight, remember? It's almost that God knowing in the future what some of the false teachers would be teaching, it's almost like he gave this command to combat their false doctrine. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Now, let's look. Notice what he said. He said, every time you march around, don't say a word, no sound. And he particularly said, keep your mouth shut. That's what he said. And if you don't know what I'm talking about this. There's a lot of teaching today that says if you got faith, you will speak your miracle. There is a miracle in your mouth, and you'll make it come to pass by the power of your words. Hear this formidable city, these high walls, and God says, now make sure you don't let anybody say anything. Where's the miracle going to come from if it's in their mouth? Right? And I can't say that for certain. I don't want to read things into Scripture, but God knew what was coming. And here's a great miracle. Nobody was speaking to the walls. Wall, I say unto you, fall. The miracle wasn't in the mouth. The miracle was in the faith that came from their obedience. Isn't that a new message? It came from their obedience. By the way, let's talk about that just briefly and I'll move forward. How is marching around the walls and then shouting going to do anything to those walls? Think about that. Six days they marched around. Absolutely nothing happening. Yet each day they got up the next morning and they marched again. What they were doing seemed to be doing nothing. Nothing they were doing seemed to be doing anything. And yet they were doing, this is the important thing, they were doing what God told them. See, when nothing seems to be happening, the important thing is, am I doing what God told me? If the answer is yes, you can have faith. And by the way, I see in here this walking around the walls, I see a great illustration of prayer, because I promise you, thank God for those times you're praying and the Holy Spirit comes over and the windows of heaven open and heaven comes down and glory fills the soul. But I want to tell you, most of the time, being human, most of the time we never feel like we're doing less than when we're praying. Think about that. And that's why that, and I understand what people mean and I understand it fully, but that's why we say, I guess the only thing we can do is pray. Like, that's not doing much, because we feel that way. That's why when you get down to pray, you can think of 105.5 other things that you should be doing. Isn't it right? Because you feel like prayer is doing nothing. Don't you think they felt like they were doing nothing every day when they got out there and walked around the walls? Being faithful often feels that way. Attending church on a snowy Wednesday night. Teaching a Sunday school class year after year. Being in the choir year after year. Service after service. Being involved, it seems like the same old thing and nothing's being accomplished. But there is something happening. If they had quit on the first day, second day, third day, it wouldn't have taken place. It was the faithfulness of the 6 days that caused on the seventh day the walls to come down. You know, a lot is to be said about faith being nothing more than faithfulness. You know, someone can brag to me about how much faith they have, but if they're not faithful to God's house and they're not faithful to do the word of God and they're in and out and up and down, they don't have a bit of faith. Faith is faithfulness. They didn't skip one day. If they had, nothing would have happened. Now, I'm not going to go into it, but just knowing the geography there, it probably took them, and knowing the size of the Israelites, it probably took them 1.5 hours to go around the walls of Jericho. What happened on the seventh day? How many times did they go around? 7. I don't know, my math may fail me here, but 7 times 1.5. Isn't that 10.5 hours? 10.5 hours, and then they had to fight the battle. I'm talking, what are you stressing at? Because I want to show you the faithfulness of the people to obey when nothing seemed like it was happening. Nothing. And I won't deal on this. I'm going to just say it and go on. But they had 2 things with them. They kept their mouths shut, but they had the Ark of the Covenant. That's the presence of God. I'm telling you, even if nothing seems to be happening, if we have the presence of God, something's happening. Right? And the next thing is these trumpets, the word used here is not for the trumpet of war. It's used for the trumpets that they blew on the day of Jubilee. In other words, there's about to be a Jubilee. We're not saying anything. It doesn't look like anything happening, but there's about to be a Jubilee. Oh, can anyone believe that tonight? There's about to be a Jubilee. And you're going to have to give me a moment. I've lost my place here. Joshua told the people they shouldn't speak. By the way, that was a real miracle that many people could keep their mouths shut that long. You think so? Amen. But if we wanted a lesson, there's a time to keep your mouth shut about the problem and just trust God. Amen. What good did it do to talk about how big those walls were? And it came to pass on the seventh day, they rose up early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day, they compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Now, remember, every day the people were quiet, but they were blowing those horns. I'm not going to try to simulate you. Just constant hour and a half. But on the seventh day, it changed. Whatever. But the people knew it changed. And they shouted. And God gave them the city. This was to show that the walls came down only by the intervention and power of God when the people chose to trust Him. You see, the people didn't charge the walls and break them down. You know, some have tried, you know how an opera singer can hit a high enough note to crack a glass? Some have tried desperately to prove that the sounding of the trumpets caused the walls to crack and to fall. My question is, why didn't they do that the next time for the next set of walls? Right? Some have said it was the marching of the feet in unison that caused the tremors to undermine the foundation. Some say that it was an earthquake because that area is prone to earthquakes. But that is interesting to me. It takes nothing from God if it were an earthquake, because God knew the timing of it. Right? And it happened right when they shouted. But the bottom line is, you cannot contribute the physical aspect of people walking around and shouting and blowing horns for those walls coming down. In other words, it is evident the walls came down by the hand of God, the power of God, the intervention of God. And that's how our walls come down too. Amen? We've been beating our head up against some walls that only God can bring down. Hallelujah. I took my glasses off. Anyone still with me tonight? Okay. So the people shouted when the priests blew at the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now I want to go back to this for a reason. What happened when the walls fell down? Now, can you imagine? This wall was somewhere between 6 and 12 feet wide. This wall was 12 feet wide. What's going to happen if that wall just falls over if it's on a level? Okay, forget it's on a hill here, because we usually see the city on a hill. What if it just falls over on the level? 12 feet wide and it falls down. What's the trouble? You still got 12 feet to climb, right? So one or two things happened knowing the archaeology of Jericho. One is, notice how tall this is here. What if this wall fell down like a ramp and filled in this area here? And what if this wall fell down and took the incline out here? It's important. The word fell flat is a different word than to fall over. It fell flat In other words, the land was flattened in front of the Israelites. And then notice the scripture said they went up straight. They weren't going around clumps. They weren't climbing. The Bible says they went up straight into the city. And it's very possible that these walls just fell down and filled in the incline and the steepness of the incline and just made an easy ramp for the children of Israel to march into the city. Another possibility is, and there seems to be maybe some proof of this, is that if it... God did use an earthquake. He opened up the ground and let the walls fall straight down in there. It didn't matter. Not only did God take the walls down, he made it easy for them to advance. Hallelujah. Isn't that just like our God? Amen. Amen. The walls fell. They moved into the promised land. Would you come, music? I want to close with this. We're not just talking about something that happened 3,400 years ago. We're talking about us tonight. And I want to go back to this one thing. If you have a heart for God, there's something in you that wants to advance. But often there's walls in the way. God wants to bring the wall down. Here's just some quick instruction. Faith for your walls to fall. Number one, be honest about which things are keeping you from progressing in God. Could you do that with me all over the building right now? All over the building, do this with me. If you're wanting to move forward in God, be honest. What is it that is keeping you from moving forward in God? That's the wall that needs to come down. Okay? Secondly, commit yourself to long obedience in the same direction. I don't know who said it recently. It's a modern Bible scholar. I can't think of who it is right now. Maybe it'll come to me later. But he said the thing that's needed most by Christians today is long obedience in the same direction. 6 days, did something that appeared it was doing nothing, walking around, but they were obeying God. You know, Christians just don't stick with it long enough sometimes. If it don't work here, they're somewhere else. If it don't work now, they're trying another doctrine. Amen. This long obedience in the same direction. It may not come across as exciting as some that you might hear on the television and radio when they tell you faith is the power that you can harness. But I'm going to tell you, this is Bible faith. Long obedience. And it's commit yourself. I'm going to go ahead. I don't care how hard it gets. I don't care how difficult it is. I am going to stay faithful to God. Keep at it even when you don't see results. Much the same thing, but it's just realizing that your commitment to obedience really isn't having results. But still, you keep at it. The walls haven't failed. And then realize that often we shout for victory, not because of it. Do you notice that? When did they shout? Quick question. Chronology. Did they shout after the walls came down or before they came down? They weren't shouting because of victory. They were shouting for victory. And much of our worship is that way. I sense that in the services on Sunday. People with huge problems in their life, yet they lifted up their hands and began to shout and to worship for the victory. And it will come. Something happens when we worship God that way. And remember, last of all, these are just real simple things. Remember, because God said it, it will happen. Long obedience, it will happen. The wall will come down. You will move forward. Praise the name of the Lord. This isn't the right nationality. And I wasn't aware this had happened, but in Fiji, yearly they had a huge Methodist meeting. And they had this every year where mass choirs would come from all over and they'd have kind of like a contest. And at this time, there were going to be 10,000 people that were going to participate in this choir sing off. And then I guess the winner got to sing at the convention. But because of all the recent terrorism and the turmoil in that area of the world, the Fiji government stepped in and said, this year there'll be no choirs. They said, we are afraid that big a crowd and people singing will get that big a crowd worked up and there'll be trouble. They were afraid of Methodist singing. And I'm making no derogatory statement against Methodists. That's our roots. But if they were afraid of Methodists singing, what would it have been like if a bunch of Pentecostals got to singing? Can you imagine that? A government afraid of singers, worshipers, to see worshipers as by the way, I think it was 2009. I'm talking about recent history. But you know, there's somebody else that gets really nervous when God's people get to singing and worshiping. See, anyone who that is? That's Satan. Because he knows if God's people, regardless of their troubles and their difficulties, if they'll come together and worship and sing, God's going to begin to move. And he doesn't want to see it happen. That's why he wants to shut us up as far as our song and our worship and our prayer. Because he knows what happens when we pray. How many's determined you're just going to keep marching, keep singing, keep shouting, let God do the work, and your walls will fall. Your walls will fall. Amen. Could you stand? Father, take your word and make it a part of our thinking, part of our feeling, a part of our willing. God, help somebody to have the confidence in their heart tonight that you're going to get involved. If they'll be faithful, you're going to get involved in the wall. Will fall. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're interested in advancing and moving forward and progressing, would you come and find a place to pray tonight?